Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Last week, we considered if the Bible is still relevant in the modern era, because many people look at the Bible as an ancient book written thousands of years ago and wonder how this book could possibly be relevant in today's world. The Bible is relevant in today's world. And if you have any questions, I would encourage you to go back and take a look and listen to the sermon from last week. As a modern, relevant book, the Bible is useful in giving information for us in our life. And the information that we can use in our life applies whether we are an older person, a middle-aged person, a person starting out just as an adult or a child. Today we're going to take a look at information that would be given to a person who might be just starting out in life or a person just starting out in the faith. We'll start today by taking a look at what Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was a younger minister in the faith in the early church, and Paul had a good bit of advice to share with him, and that's a good place for us to start today. So let's take a look at 1 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So in these first few verses of 1 Timothy 4, lots of information is given to Timothy. We know that in the latter days in which we are living, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, that what Satan will offer will seem a lot better than what God will provide. We know that in the latter times, there will be some unusual messages given that God's people may hear, such as forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. Now, there are two kinds of meats that are out there, the clean and the unclean, and I would believe it would be important to follow the dietary laws as provided in the Bible. When this verse talks about those which were created to be received with thanksgiving, that's a reference to the clean meats. And any animal that God that has determined that it's clean to eat in verse 4 is good to eat, and it should not be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. In this modern era, there are many people who teach that we should not ever go out and try and get and eat animals, that instead we should eat a plant-based diet. And here God is saying that it's okay to eat meats. Continuing in 1 Timothy, verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercises profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Bodily exercise is very useful. If I do not go for a walk on a regular basis, my cholesterol will begin to spike pretty quickly. So for me, there is a benefit, a physical benefit in bodily exercise. And unless you've been advised otherwise by a doctor, chances are bodily exercise is useful in your life as well. The reality, and what is more important though, is that our spiritual life is much more important than our physical life. At some point, we will all die. That is the nature of a physical existence. Beyond that is eternal life in the kingdom of God. And that, focusing on that, will profit much, much, much more. But there is nothing wrong with bodily exercise. Verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So we know that God is here to save all men, especially those who believe. We should be kind to people who are non-believers. We should be especially kind to those who are the believers. These things, verse 11, command and teach. And notice verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy was a younger man, and older people sometimes will say something like, the problem with the youth is that youth is wasted on the young. Older people who have more life experiences sometimes would enjoy the opportunity to take their life experiences that they have and put those life experiences into a younger body that they could enjoy. That's the basis of that saying. Here Timothy is saying simply, let no man despise thy youth. People will despise us based on where we are in life. People will look down at younger people as being ignorant, incompetent, lacking life's experiences. That's not the biblical way. To remedy that natural belief, Paul advised Timothy, and this is good for any young person who may be living, to be examples in your word, in your conversation. Your words and how you speak are important. In charity, in generosity, in your spirit, in faith, in purity. So if you are living a lifestyle that is raunchy, people may question who you are and not trust you. If you want people to not despise your youth, there are certain things as a younger person you need to do. And verse 12 is a very good example of what needs to be done. Verse 13, continuing with the recommendations to Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There's nothing wrong with being a young person, and Timothy was a younger man. The trick is, sometimes when you're working with people who are older and more experienced, they may not fully recognize or validate who you are as a person simply because you are younger. Sometimes a younger person can be thrust into a much larger area of responsibility than they may think they are ready for. Typically, the first major area of responsibility that people get that they may not feel they're ready for is parenthood. They have a child, and all it takes is a biological act to make a child. It's totally different to be a parent. And so when people become parents, they tend to realize that they have to fill pretty big shoes really quickly with not a whole lot of experience. There's a biblical account of somebody who was a younger person who had to fill pretty big shoes. There came a point in the life of Moses, and that will come to all of us, where Moses got old and he died. And the leader who replaced him was a younger man by the name of Joshua. God had some very key words to share with Joshua. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee in all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper where whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Very encouraging words for Joshua, and words that we can take and apply in our life. When we are given a new area of responsibility, such as Joshua was given, just as Joshua was under the protection of God, as long as we submit ourselves to the will of God, we can also be comforted by these words. We know that God will be with us wherever we may go. And so in those words, we should take great comfort in how we live our life. As a younger person, or even as an older person, there are many life situations that we will come across. And so the comfort in the words that God gave to Joshua is something that can definitely comfort us throughout our life. There are many bits of wisdom given to us within the book of Proverbs. We'll take a look at Proverbs 24, beginning with verse 23. Proverbs 24, beginning with verse 23. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. When we respect people and we decide one way for one person and another way for another person, we show bias. God has no bias in how he works in our life. God does not look at people of color any differently than he looks at people who may be of a different skin color. God looks at everyone exactly the same and holds everyone up to the same standard. Verse 24, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. As we share our thoughts with other people, we have to be very careful that we do not regard with righteousness any act of evil. That's gotten a lot of political people in trouble by simply referring to acts of evil as somehow being righteous. Verse 25, but to them that rebuke him shall be a delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer. When you give people the answer they want to hear, they'll love you. What's important is not that you respect the answer you want to hear, but that as you're going through life, you can accommodate and work with the answer you need to hear. And there's a difference between the two. Verse 27, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. In education, we talk about career readiness. We talk about college and career readiness because in today's world, many careers require some level of college first. And that's what verse 27 is talking about. When we think of what we need to do to get ready in our line of work, whatever it may be, we can easily be distracted by life. We turn to the left, we turn to the right, and get our eyes off of the work that needs to be done. We can get distracted. And that works even with our chosen career. We can easily get to a point where we no longer are viable in our career. If we get our priorities out of order, life can be more challenging. There is a reason why the recommendation is you fall in love, you get married, and then you have a child. Because that's a lot easier than having sex, producing a baby, trying to support the baby, and then down the road figure out maybe the need to get married. There's a huge difference in there. Some people get married before they finish their education. It's more challenging for people in those circumstances to go back and to finish their education. So that's why we always recommend that you get set in your career first. You're able to support yourself before you could think of supporting a family. Verse 28, be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Don't be a person who's known as lying, and learn how to make peace with your neighbors. Your neighbors and you live next to each other for mutual benefit and safety. That's the best way to look at a neighbor. So respect the fact that they're your neighbor because they can benefit and protect you down the road. Verse 29, say not, I will do to him as he hath done to me, I will render to the man according to his work. We do not need to seek revenge on other people. Taking vengeance is the role of God, and vengeance needs to be taken. So if you feel you have been wronged, take it prayerfully to God. You do not need to take action yourself. Taking action yourself in an act of vengeance will almost likely get you in trouble with the law enforcement authorities. And that's the whole other mess to deal with that you don't need to deal with. Verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and it covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Younger people, and even many older people, look for the easy way to do something. The easy way to do something is not always the best way. The best way to do something is going to always be the best way to do something. So focus on what is the best way to do what needs to be done rather than just an easy way out. Because the easy way out will lead to this life of poverty. as we're trying to figure out our way in this world, at some point we come across and interact with other people who will believe similarly to how we believe. And as we begin to live a life, we recognize that there is something much bigger than just ourselves that God is working with. Paul wrote a little bit about that concept in his epistle to the Romans. Let's take a look at Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We live in this world. There is no escaping that until we come to the natural end of our physical life. Until that point, we do live in this world. We have to live in the world, but we do not have to be transformed by the world in which we are living. We are here as Christians representing this future kingdom of God. That is the kingdom that we represent. We do not need to be conformed to this world. This world is primarily focused on the physical existence, the here and the now. And the here and the now is totally incompatible to this future kingdom of God that will be eternal. So it's deadly for us to allow ourselves to be conformed to this world because there is so much more out there in our spiritual existence. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait unto our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. There are many different gifts that we have as Christians, and we just went through a huge list of them. Whatever your gift is, are some very good examples that we can use from the Apostle Paul. Going back to verse 3, what is more important is not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We worry much in today's world about self-esteem. And it is possible to overvalue our worth. Instead of overvaluing our worth, it's more important to think soberly that we are living a life where we know we will be judged, and we need to be found righteous as we are judged to be in the kingdom of God. Continuing with verse 9 of Romans 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. As Christians, we can think that somehow we are better than other people. because maybe God has called us out of this world. That doesn't make us better than other people. It just means God has chosen to call us at this time for reasons that make most sense to God. It has nothing to do with you or me. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It's foolish to be at conflict with other people. It's even more foolish to be in conflict with other people when there is no basis for that conflict. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We get ourselves into a very dangerous place when we seek to take vengeance on other people, because it's not our place to take vengeance. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And so the good that is talked about in verse 21 are things such as feeding your enemy in verse 20, not avenging evil that is done against you. Wait for God to avenge the evil in your life. And that can be a hard one, especially for someone who is young, who has a lot of fighting spirit in them. Instead of trying to fight and seek vengeance when others harm us, we could go and take a look at an example given to us in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. If we're generous in our life, it'll come back to us. That's what this verse is talking about. Give a portion of seven and also the eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree falls toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. There are many things that are still a mystery to us. Scientifically, we know a little bit more about how a fetus develops in the womb of its mother. We still don't understand the intricacies of why it all happens, or why sometimes a child is born with a physical disability. We don't understand that level of intricacy of human development. Verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. And in El Paso, we see the sun on a regular basis, day in and day out. For us, it's a treat to have a cloudy day where the sun does not shine at all. That happens, less than a handful of times a year. Verse 8, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. If we have a wonderful life today, we should not assume we're going to have a wonderful life tomorrow or in the future. Things do not stay the same on the physical realm. Things change, and our quality of life can change in an instant. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man or young lady, in your youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee in judgment. God tells young people to be happy. and to follow your heart, to follow what you're passionate about, to follow what you see with your eyes. But understand that you too will be judged. So for a younger person, as you're finding your way in the world and you're following what's passionate in your heart, don't use that as a license to sin, because God will still judge. Verse 10, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Childhood is something that if you're a person in your 20s, you remember from, you know, a few years ago. Just as much as you're no longer a child, one day you will no longer be a younger person, and you will be facing the very end of your life. So put away evil, because your life will too one day come to an end. That's the reality of life. Sometimes younger people think about getting ahead. Younger people sometimes are simply trying to get out of the family home to establish their own apartment, place to live, their own life. And people focus on the concept of getting ahead. We think in terms of money when we think of getting ahead. And that's important. But there's something more important than just trying to get ahead in life financially. Let's look at Proverbs 16, verse 16. Proverbs 16, verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Wisdom is much more important than money. And wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Knowledge is the retention of facts and information in your brain. Wisdom is the best application of that knowledge and those facts in various different kinds of circumstances. Wisdom is much more important than knowledge. It's much more important than money. So how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Notice verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. If you think that you are bigger than you are, if you think you are better than you are, you're in a place where you can be brought down very low. What's most important is to consider how we are accurately. Verse 19, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. In life, you'll be better off hanging out with people who do not think highly of themselves. Because people who do not think highly of themselves, typically they don't get themselves into the trickier situations of life. People who are more humble tend to have a realistic viewpoint of life. Verse 20, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. We need to trust in the Lord. We also need to use wisdom in the situations that come to us in our life. We started today's sermon by taking a look at Paul's writing to Timothy. We're going to continue on that with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's important as Christians that we share our faith with the next generation. That's the only way the Christian faith will continue. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth as a soldier for Jesus Christ entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. As a Christian, we recognize that we live in this world. But we live in this world representing the kingdom of God. Representing the kingdom of God as a soldier for Christ, our interactions with this world have to be strategic in nature. We are representing Jesus Christ. We cannot get ourselves entangled in this world where we begin focusing on what's important in this world rather than what is important spiritually. That's what is told to us in verse 4. Sometimes people will look at verse 4 as a reason to totally shun the world and to keep themselves totally separate from what's happening in the world. That won't help us be a soldier of Jesus Christ either. Soldiers that have represented the United States in battle know that many times they have to interact with the local people in order to achieve their battle objectives. It's not always about fighting the enemy. Sometimes it's about befriending the local people as you're fighting your war. That's something that is seen all the time in military conflicts. So as we're living our Christian life, we have to remember that we are a soldier of Jesus Christ representing the kingdom of God. We recognize that we live in the present world. We must remember not to become so entangled in this world that it distracts us from our relationship with God and Jesus Christ and remove us from our focus on the kingdom of God. Verse 5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, or the farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. We'll continue with verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In most homes, the vessel of greatest dishonor is the toilet. It's the porcelain throne. It's a vessel of dishonor, and you know you've arrived as an adult when you are the person cleaning your own toilet. When people see us as the person who simply is there to clean the toilet, and that's all they see us, people will tend to look down on us. That's why in verse 21 it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The reality is, as Christians, yeah, we're going to clean our toilets because we can't get away from that. The spiritual principle is we need to remove ourselves from those things which dishonor us in the eyes of God. Verse 22, here's how we go about doing that. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. So on the one hand, we avoid one thing, lust. On the other hand, we pursue righteousness. We get rid of one thing, we replace it immediately with something else. Faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's what we replace youthful lusts with. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. The biggest problem with many people who are of the churches of God is they debate these questionable doctrines and topics. And they stake their salvation on these questionable topics, and they debate. And they debate, and they debate, and they debate, and as a result, the church becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. It's important as we're working with people that we understand that we don't know when God may call them. And we need to be working with all people as if God may call them at any time. Paul also had thoughts to share with the people of the church at Colossae. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. As Christians, we need to be careful that we're not enticed away from the faith. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, and as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Again, the theme that we have is thanksgiving. In our life, we must be thankful in with the knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ and his way of life, as well as the physical things that God has been kind in giving to us. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. This world uses philosophy, vain deceit, and tradition. We can't allow those to separate us from Christ. For in him, verse 9, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A good exercise for younger people or people of any age is to consider what you would like people to think of after you've died. What would they say at your funeral? What would be written on your tombstone? That's how people will remember you. When you're dead, you'll no longer have the opportunity to go back and challenge people's accounts of who you are. They will solely have control over that dialogue. The time to remember, you know, how you want people to remember you after you've died is not when you're old and nearing death. It's now, at the present time. Whether you're young or young in spirit as an older person, now is the time to think about how you would like to be remembered. We'll finish by taking a look at Ecclesiastes 12, beginning with verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Many times the very old people struggle to live from day to day. There may not be any joy in their life. Before you get to that point is the time to remember your Creator. When your mind can be distracted by all the physical joys of this world. Verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Remember God in your bright and sunny days. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the door shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Verse 5, also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. The grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. The older I get, the less I want to get up on a ladder. The less I want to get up on my roof to do anything on the roof, because I'm more concerned about losing my balance, slipping and falling in a place where I could bring great harm and injury to me. The older you'll get, the less likely you'll want to get up on a ladder or a high place as well. Verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Verse 6 gives us a lot of poetic language about death. And at some point, all of us will die. All of us will return to dust from which we came. That is the nature of the human existence. It's sad to think that at some point we will come to this future time in our life where we'll simply die. Just as much as it's hard for us to think of the world existing before we were alive, it's hard for us to fathom a world after our death. As humans, we know the here and the now, what we have seen and observed through our five senses. And because of that, it is very hard for us to judge righteously. But that is our human existence, and we are called to this higher standard as a Christian, as someone who is called by God today. Let's look at verse 8. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Listen to people who have wisdom to share, even if it sometimes drives you nuts to listen to the wisdom that they have to share, because it will help you get to the right place in your life. Verse 12, and further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. For all the students out there, listen to verse 12. You can study and study and study and study, and at the end of the day, all you'll do is be very tired. At some point, you have to take the knowledge you have and put it to use. That's a lot of wisdom in that. So don't be a student forever. At some point, use the knowledge you have been given, that you have acquired, that you have invested in. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We are to respect God in reverent awe with his plan of salvation, that he has given us knowledge of his plan of salvation at this point when he's not working with very many people. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, what we do openly, what happens behind the doors of our house when we close the front door and close the blinds, all of that will be brought into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We know we live in a world that doesn't legitimately honor God. It pursues the physical and material existence that we know in the world. Whether you're a young person or an older person who's youthful in spirit, we all must recognize that beyond this physical life, which will one day come to an end, is eternal salvation and our place in the kingdom of God. As a person of faith, we need to remember that important distinction in our life, so so that we do not become entangled by the things that are important to this world. We must always remain focused on those things which are important to God. By focusing on those things that are important to God, we will be focusing our attention and working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together again next week on the Sabbath. Until next time, thank you for joining us today.